We've all had these times in our lives that really hurt. We don't understand. We don't want to accept. This week was the hardest week of my life. Losing my best friend, my oldest brother, and our missionary, which is pictures right here still. And I'll share with you a little bit how that happened. As you know, 4.5 years ago, the doctor told him he had viral myocarditis. We knew that day that his time was limited. And it came to this week, and they were supposed to wean him off the heart pump on Monday, and that's why I went so early in the week. And I kept getting pushed back, one thing after another. And false hope kept getting given, and my brother and I would go outside and ask the doctor specific questions. We knew there was no direction in this. So yesterday I asked the nurse, I said, okay, what's next? When are you going to wean him off the machine? So, well, the doctor's gone now. It won't be until Monday. So I went in the room, and after talking to Mom and my siblings, and they all told me to go home. I said my goodbyes, and it was with much hesitancy leaving, but almost home. And his oxygen levels are falling. And reality came to Jeff, speaking to the doctors, that he was not going to be intubated, because there was nothing left. It was God's time. And so it was Jeff himself that said, turn off the machines. So at 1:35 this morning, I received the call. And while my brother is telling me, my oldest brother was on his knees before the feet of Jesus. He was healed. And he was finally skinny. I tell my mom, our tears are just because we're jealous that he beat us in the race to Jesus and to that perfect body. So I need to say thank you to this church for your understanding. You're the ones that told me take all the time you need. Many were generous in making sure that we were doing okay. Many of you asked, what can we do? And we just didn't know how to answer other than prayer. I'm sorry for the inconvenience of not having certain services, and we won't have tonight's service. I slept last night, so I don't think you want me to try. And I think our family just needs to be together. But allowing your pastor to go and be an encouragement to his mom and just cry with his mama, cry with his brother. Allowing me to say bye to not only my brother, but our missionary. Just remember that. I hope that my desire would be to go see any missionary that this would be happening to pray with any missionary. This one just happened to be my brother. But on top of that, you might not know, but the deacons encouraged me to take the church van when I went. Because when I went, we thought Amy would be coming a couple days later and she needed a reliable car. My white van ain't very reliable anymore. And so, thank you. And so, now we know that Jeff is face to face with Jesus, God, the Creator, the Savior, and he's completely healed. Something that would never happen on this earth anymore. God had a purpose for what happened. But for Jeff, death no longer has any sting. He has no fears of death, disease, darkness, pain. There's no more tears for him. Maybe of joy. But he may not have those, but those things are still true to us. We hurt, we cry, we have fears, we deal with disease, sickness, and violence, and we still wonder. Today we wonder, God, why? You ever had that moment? We want to be over-spiritualized sometimes. I'd never ask God. I ain't going to lie to you. Sometimes I'm like, God, why? Why would you let this happen? And all week, I've been comforted by one verse. I don't want to use situations in my life to preach to this church, but I know each one of us are going to go through or have gone through situations like this. Some of you mamas out there can relate exactly with what my mama's going through. Some of you can relate exactly what I'm going through as a brother. And there's one verse that's been coming to mind over and over and over this week. So if you open to Romans chapter 8, you could probably guess what verse we're going to look at. But most of us have had those times that we say, God, why? And I've been saying that for a few years now. He's a good guy. God, why? He's your servant, your missionary, your pastor. Why? He's doing a great work in Brazil. As a matter of fact, when I called the men of the church, the leadership, or one of the men of the church that's a leader in the church this morning, to let them know, they had a group of men already held praying. And they told me we had just got done praying for Jeff. And he no longer needs prayer. He was doing a great work in discipling people, preparing them for the ministry. That's why while he's here in the States, the ministry there is still going on because the men he discipled have raised up to preach. God, why? And this week, I want to speak of that verse that keeps coming to mind, which if you're familiar with an old pastor writer named Robert A. Torrey, he called this verse a soft pillow for a tired head. With this verse, we no longer have to wonder why. But leading up to this verse that we're so familiar with, God speaks of disasters. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, look what it says. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. See, once sin entered the world, there's no place unaffected by sin. The entire world is affected by sin. I've had the privilege of traveling to 7 different countries. You know some each one of them have in common? Cemeteries. Cemeteries. Whether it's small, dinky places with a sticks for a headstone, or when we went to Scotland and it had big ornate stones, it signifies one thing. Death has been here. Death has visited. Death is everywhere. It comes by disease, by violence, by shootings that we have heard so much of. We know of disasters that bring death through tornadoes, floodings, droughts, volcanoes, hurricanes. Then we experience tragedies regularly, such as car wrecks, drownings, fires. We could go on, but we are familiar with death, and it's around the world. It's all these things that make us cry out, but God, why? When the floodings hit Texas, Houston to be specific, what, 6 years ago or so, we cried out, God, why? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us why. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Father, we come to You. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that in the midst of our sorrow, our mourning, our frustration, our hurt, you have a purpose. That what we see as horrible, you see an opportunity to show yourself. Lord, I ask that you use this short message today to maybe encourage someone that's hurting today. Maybe prepare someone in this room that will be hurting soon. Maybe to just help each one of us make sense of why this garbage happens. And then give us a new perspective that we'd honor you and worship you and praise you even when things are bad. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us and showing it to us by your son Jesus on the cross. In your name I pray. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God and them who are called according to his purpose. See, today's verse was given to us so that we can take comfort that God is going to use everything for his glory. Yes, he's going to use the drought for his glory. Man, it hurts. It's frustrating. If you're at all into farming right now, we know we've been waiting for rain, then we get a tease of black clouds going over. I've been teasing with Jared quite a bit about this frustration. And then it rains a little bit, and it's like, oh, that was cute. Well, God used that for his glory. You better be sure he will. Yes, he's going to use your house fire for his glory. Lord, you took everything from me. He said, I have a purpose. And you know what? God is using Jeff's death for his glory. Scripture says, and we know. Do you notice in that verse starts out, and we know. This statement is saying it's common knowledge. Is it common knowledge to you that God is in control? Do you know that no matter what you go through, what you fall in, how bad you're hurting, God is God, God is good, and God is still on his throne? That's not unique to me. That's another man that was on his deathbed. He was a music pastor in a church, and he was dying of cancer, and he wanted his people to remember, God is good, no matter what we go through. And we know. See, in Scripture, if you're studying Scripture, if you're reading God's Word, it is not hidden from us that God, our Creator, is also the maintainer. He is in control. He will work things out for himself. The more our knowledge of God's Word grows, the more our faith in him will grow. And the more our faith grows, the more we'll be obedient to his Word, because we will know that he is good. And we will know that he is in control. You see, if we're in God's Word, he will encourage us and strengthen us in the knowledge of who he is. And we will have the common knowledge that all things work together for good. That's the next part of that verse. And we know, if you're a believer in this room, we should know. You should know that God will work this together for good. This verse has become almost a whipping club sometimes. I don't know what else to say, and I want to sound spiritual. So all the way, God works all things together for good. And we say it when someone else is suffering. But you know what the most comforting thing can be? Is when I say it to myself in my suffering. Oh yeah. All things work together for good. Be careful with this all things work together for good part. Not everything is good. Scripture doesn't say everything is good, right? You with me? It doesn't say everything is good. It doesn't say you're going to enjoy everything. But it does say that a good God will use it for good. A good God will always use it for good. See, since Jeff got this disease 4.5 years ago, He never stopped saying, when you don't understand his conduct, trust his character. My God is good. My God is love. I trust. You don't understand his methods sometimes. I trust his heart. I trust his character. I trust his promises. And so I can say, it will work together for good. Is it really all things? Everything in your life God will use for his glory. And if you love God, is that not your ultimate purpose? So I'm going to think for a minute. If you love God, is that not your ultimate purpose, that everything in your life work out for his glory? That's what we're supposed to be alive for. We were bought with a price. Everything about us has been purchased by the holy blood of Jesus Christ. Everything about us should be aimed at bringing him glory. And the only way we stop doing that is when our flesh gets in the way. All things will work together for his glory. And no matter what the cost is, if he receives glory, our ultimate purpose is fulfilled. God makes tragedies good. In tragedies, we can see God's goodness. 2 Corinthians 1:3 tells us that he's the God of all comforts. If you don't go through hard times, how are you ever going to feel the comfort of God? He listens to our prayers. He listens to our cries. And he will comfort us through any situation. You, as God's church, my church, because I'm a part of it, have been a huge way that God has expressed his comfort to me. Thank you. Thank you. I've received hugs today from people I've never got hugs from before. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm a hugger. I'm good with it. You see, he'll use our tragedies. You remember when Job in Scripture lost everything? If you know Job in Scripture, he lost it. Look, somebody wants mama. And when Job in Scripture lost everything, you remember his house was knocked down. All the houses he had, his animals were killed. His servants were killed. All of his kids were killed. How does that work out for his glory? Well, God received glory through Job's faithfulness. Sometimes in your tragedy, how does God be glorified? That you remain faithful even in your tragedy. He receives glory. In Job's life, God also received glory because he was seen as the provider. What did Job need? God gave to him. And by the end of the story, God doubled everything Job ever had. Not Job, God gave to him. God was glorified. Did he work everything together for good there? He sure did. When Lazarus died, who was a good friend of Jesus while he walked the earth, Jesus received glory by walking to the grave when many doubters were around, and he said, come forth. And Lazarus got up and walked out of that grave after 4 days. A man that was already stinking of death, who was glorified? Jesus Christ. God received glory even in this tough situation. He comforted Lazarus' sisters. When John the Baptist was beheaded, God received glory. Why? Because he comforted John the Baptist so much that John could remain faithful to the very end. You would not have seen John's faithfulness if his life was all butterflies and flowers. But it wasn't. And he remained faithful. Why? I am with you till the end of the world. God was with him. And John remained faithful. God was glorified through that tragedy. But what about sin? If he receives glory for everything, he turns everything into good. all things work together for good. So sin is good. Does God use that? Does he make that good? Yes, he does. God will use sin for his glory. However, he never makes us sin. He never desires us to sin. Here's what he says in James 1, verse 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. God does not place sin in our lives. But when we do fall into sin, when we do fall to flesh, he will use it for his glory. He will use it for his glory. How does he use sin? Well, if you're a child of God, he will chasten you. He will punish you. And in doing so, he's glorified because his chastisement is out of love. Even in his punishment, Hebrews 12, verse 6 tells us, even in his punishment, we can see his love. Why? Because how do you identify a good daddy? It's one that will discipline and teach his kids. Not one that lets them do whatever they want. And our God loves us so much that he's going to say, no, when you fall into sin, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to punish you. And God is glorified because even in the midst of sin, once you do, he still loves you. In chastising his sons, he's glorified because he teaches a lesson. How many lessons you learned from those hiney whoopings from God? Or am I the only one that ever got one? Gary, I know better. God is glorified in teaching his children. Why? Because it draws you closer to him. It conforms you to his image if you accept his lessons. It places deeper faith within you when you see the love of God come down upon you, forgiving your sins, and yet teaching that harsh punishment sometimes. Did he work your sin out for his glory? You bet he does. And you'll work it out for your good too, because you grew closer to him. Our chastisement from him brings him glory also, because his judgment, his discipline is seen, and it is known that he does not play with sin. When he studied the account of David and Bathsheba and the adultery, when God sent Nathan to rebuke David, what did Nathan say? Shame on you for the adultery? Oh no, he rebuked that. But you know what the big shame was? He said, all the heathen nations now are going to mock God because you are a bad example of godliness. So therefore, God must punish you, David. Therefore, God must show his judgment upon sin. God must show also his love upon his people. God is glorified even through sin. See, David sinned, which is what he's more known for than all of his greatness. Understand, David has chapter after chapter after chapter of goodness. Majority of his life, he did great. David's sin was punished. And all people saw God's seriousness about sin. How? The baby died. And David's household fell apart. And David's repentance, that glorifies God as well. You with me? When David finally said, oh God, I've sinned against you. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And Psalms chapter 51 is very clear on that. That glorified God because it showed again God's love and forgiveness, accepting his kids back into fellowship. Remember, God never takes away salvation, but our sins will break fellowship with him. In our repentance, he is glorified because we see a restoration of fellowship and a God that throws away our sins like it never happened. He doesn't bury the hatchet with the handle sticking out, does he? He gets rid of it. He planted it under the cross. See, God turns the ugly into beauty. He places hope where it's hopeless. He gives joy in the midst of mourning. He gives life to the dead. When we do the funeral for my brother, we ain't celebrating his death. We ain't focusing on his death. We celebrating that he has life in Christ. If you're a child of God, no matter what happens on this earth, your life continues. It just gets better. It's for me to live as Christ. Whatever he wants, whatever he leads, whatever brings him glory. But to die is gain. Why? Because then I got Christ even more, face to face with him. But in this little verse that we focus on today, we see this promise is not for all, is it? For some, the best things are going to turn miserable. For some, eventually, all will become dark and hopeless all of a sudden. For some, this dark, sinful, violent, creepy world is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. These promises that God is making, that he works it all out to good, is reserved for one group. And we're going to look at two descriptions here. He says, the description of the people he's talking to, that he's going to work things out together for good to, are number one, is those that love God. Those that love God. Do you love God? Now, I don't mean in essence, and that's what we're supposed to say in church. I mean, do you love God? Do you have a desire to draw close to him, draw nigh unto him so that he can draw nigh unto you? Do you appreciate the things he has done? Because too many people, even within the church, have a knowledge of God, but have no true love for God. That's why this here sits on the shelf all week and maybe comes to church on Sunday, and sometimes not even that. And can you say you love God when I don't want to spend time listening to him? I don't want to spend time submitting to him? I don't want to spend time on my knees talking to him? Do you call that love to God? Things work together for good to those who love God. See, Satan has a knowledge of God. James 2:19 is very clear to that. But Satan still trembles because he knows he's under the judgment of God. He still fears God. To love God means to acknowledge who he is and appreciate what he has done for you. And as this love grows, what did Jesus say love is in John 14:15? If you love me, obey my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, get the goosebumps, wear a Jesus shirt, or have your name printed on the front of your Bible. Is he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And when that's the case, he says, all things will work together for good. Love God means we're going to grow in him to the point that all we want is him glorified. So it's kind of cool. The doctor came in the other day. It was my brother before they did the surgery on, the weeks have been a blur, but I think it was Monday or Tuesday. My brother looked at the doctor, and the doctor was sharing that this may go south. My brother said, listen, I believe that God and science work together and that God is in control. He said, doctor, there's no pressure on you. I appreciate you doing the surgery. But we're going to let the God's outcome come. You know, when you grow to the point that you can say, as long as God is glorified in the midst of my trials, I'm still going to point to God, we're starting to get it right then. Our satisfaction in our life should be to know that God was glorified. And if we come to that point, we can be assured that he has a good purpose for our hard times. But he doesn't just stop at love God. He says those also that are called according to his purpose. Those who love God are those who heard and accept his call. Therefore, they want to bring him glory. They're going to obey his word, making him known. They're called according to his purpose. Why? Because they heard him call them to themselves. If you're a believer and you come to faith in Christ, you didn't come blankly on your own. You heard the Spirit of God speak to you and call you to salvation. You heard the conviction from the Word of God. And it made you desire to know God. And if you came humbly, knelt before him, and called on him for salvation, you responded to his call. If you blow off that call, you rejected it. If you're in faith, you're called according to his purpose. That means you're called to fulfill his plan in your life. You're called according to his purpose, meaning you no longer live for yourself. You are bought with a price. And what is that purpose he gives to you? To glorify his name. To make him known. To be conformed to his image. Each of us in this room have had times that are hard. Bad news. There's probably going to be more. Because we still live in a dark world. And it's going to remain dark and just get darker until the day Jesus comes back. And he rules with the iron fist. But until you see Jesus face to face, we can relax with this purpose that God has given to us. That he's going to work everything out for good. You with me? Whatever you're going through, if you are a child of God, if you love God, if you're called according to his purpose, and you've accepted that call, he will work everything out for good. And here's where we rest our head. God has a purpose. He will use it for his glory, and if he gets glory, our purpose is fulfilled. Because God is good. He's so good that he uses bad things for his goodness. Would you stand with me? When we come to know God, we know that good isn't just something he possesses. Good is his character. Good is his attributes. And no matter what you're going through, God will turn it to good for his glory and for your life. But it takes some intimacy with him to really believe this. It takes some intimacy with him that in the midst of hard times, you can say, God, use me, however. Make yourself known through me. And we're talking about prayer in Sunday school. It changes our prayer a little bit. From God, fix all my problems, to God, strengthen me to go through these problems with you and bring you glory. See, your prayer is dependent upon your intimacy with God. Let's bring God glory, remembering who he is. We're going to close in a song today that I believe you probably know. Sing it loud because of who he is.